You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication, but it's going to be a unique supplication for today, one that we usually use. It's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 24. This is the soul. To the glorious Queen, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Sweetest Mother, how I thank you for making me understand the great evil of the human will. And so, for the sake of the sorrow you suffered during your exile in Egypt, I ask you to free my soul from the exile of my will, that I may return to my dear homeland of the divine will. End quote. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just being very consistent, our Thursdays fall on beautiful feast days, beautiful celebrations. We're so blessed to be on Radio Maria during this this holy day, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And you know, sisters, the Holy Innocents, a tragedy, of course. And but if we think about it, the tragedy really hasn't ended. It's just sort of repackaged. I mean, what Herod did with no regard for life to kill all children, hoping to get the Savior in that mix. We're sort of doing the same thing with attempting to kill children as well, not looking for the Savior necessarily, but for the offspring of the Savior. So again, this whole attack, see, if we look at it, everything bad that's going on in the world is really a direct or indirect attack against God. It's just being played out by different pawns, different minions, usually through creatures. So by attempting to kill all the offspring, they believe, those with nefarious reasons, believe that they're really attacking our Lord and doing damage to our Lord. But gosh, if they only knew. And forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. Our Lord taught us that on the cross. Sisters, it's so nice to be with you again on this beautiful, beautiful feast of the Holy Innocents, and hopefully we can help those who are searching, who are seeking, who are looking for hope, because I think the greatest hope that each and every one of us can have through our Holy Catholic Church is to investigate, embrace, and possess the gift of living the divine will. Father Nuzzi said it perfectly. He said, it's not only the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but Father said, it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. And there's a huge delineation between those two, what he has given and what he can give. And again, why is it the greatest he can give? Because he's giving all of himself. There's nothing greater than that. Sisters?
Yes, and I think that we are all work in progress to enter in this big gift, but the most is better than we think, that he desire more than us, that we enter in this kingdom, in this receiving this gift. And I was thinking about what you were telling before about the Holy Innocent and about our human will in the prayer. It's so difficult to say not to our human will, because we is a part of us. The point is to convert our will and to put our will in the direction of the divine will. So what is the point? The first things we have to do, we have to know who is God. We have to enter in the profound communion with him. And only in this way we can convert our divine will, not because we have to, but only for love. Because if we know who really is God, is love, is waiting for giving us all himself, only true love we can, not to give that to our human life, but to try to extend it. Oh, I can say extend there, and I don't know if it is okay. Extend our human will in the divine will. And this is what he is waiting. And about the Holy Innocent, yes, also today we have this big problem. Only if we think about the abortion, this is a problem that we can lead today. But we have to, in one way, enter in the dimension of the hope. And why I'm telling this, because in the first reading of our office prayer in this morning, there is a part when we can read together. Then the king of Egypt say to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sirafra and the other Pua, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. Sorry. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So the daughter are more lucky. But I was thinking, okay, the Pharaoh ordered them to cast the baby, the son, in the Nile. But what we have from the Nile, we have Moses, and he was saved by the Nile. So we have to understand that God has a different logic from us. We can see, oh, this is dark. No, in the dark, we can have a little piece of light, and from that light, we can change the things. So we can start for our part with a prayer, with offering our sacrifice, or to evangelize people, to give a good testimony, and waiting, giving company to Jesus that already is still suffering for this martyrdom, and we can give to him company. And through this, our little part, we can participate in the co-redemption of the world.
Yes, you know, you mentioned about the little light, and you know, just human nature, and then just, you know, principles of physics. It's easier to see a little light in a darker room or in a darker environment. You know, it's more accessible, and that's one of the things that our blessed Lord, okay, through His justice, through the chastisements. Again, He's trying to wake us up, and He's got to do whatever possible to wake us up, and sometimes He needs to shake the earth to do so. But we need to look at that little light, and not just to recognize it, but we have to gravitate toward it. You know, you mentioned also about the about knowing ourselves. You know, the two things that Jesus tells Louisa, the greatest things that God can do for us is to allow us to know God to a greater extent, and to know ourselves to a greater extent. Because the more we know ourselves, I mean, how do we know what to work on if we don't identify our deficiencies? You know, I don't have to rely on my drinking buddies to tell me you're drinking too much, or your golfing buddies to tell you you're golfing too much. You're not going to hear that positive criticism from that circle of friends, but you need to hear it from Jesus. And that's why the tough love sometimes needs to take effect. I mean, all parents need to invoke tough love. They don't like to do it, but they realize that it's going to be probably the only effective way of proving that something needs to change. And, you know, speaking about changing, I think you mentioned this also about our hearts, sister. Our hearts need to be reordered. Remember, when Adam was disobedient, everything fell out of disorder, including our human will. Actually, that predicated it, that started it. So now, as order will come back to its original form, so must our heart. And when our heart is reordered, we're going to put our priorities in place. We're going to know that God comes first, everything else comes second. I think the world is trying to tug us in the totally opposite direction, that everything comes first and God comes second. Again, it just doesn't work. See, again, this is that diabolical disorientation, I believe, that our Blessed Mother spoke about at Fatima. She said, good will be bad, bad will be good, Even good people will do bad things and they think they're doing good. That's exactly where we are today. We must be the ones to utilize the only antidote to the poisons and the evils of the world today, which is the divine will.
I think the problem also, part of the problem is because we run too much and we don't give time to our mind to stop and to realize what I did today. I did wrong. I did in a correct way. And why I did this. So each one of us need a spiritual part of each day for meditate the reason why we act in a specific way. And also it's important to, okay, we have to be realistic with ourselves. We are not God. This is the first thing. We are not God. We are called the
children of God. And we prove it to ourselves every day.
But we have to walk. Okay, we are work in progress on our sanctity. But we have also to be able to forgive ourselves. And to, I was so stupid. I make this error. Why I did this? Because for many reasons. And if I start to be realistic and to forgive myself, I can walk in humility and I can accept how much big is love, how much big is the power of the love for me and for other people. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, and I think we can't take ourselves too seriously. I mean, we have to go back to the nothingness of the soul. Jesus says we're nothing but a shadow. Now, a shadow is something, but a shadow needs something to cause it. So God is the cause, the uncaused cause. Take God away and there's no shadow. So if we don't take ourselves so seriously, I think we'd be a lot more effective in gravitating back toward God. So hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I would like to add a little things also living in the present moment that will help us to realize more that we are living in this world and living not to think too much what I have to do next, but living right now in the moment. Since we are still in the week of the octave of Christmas, I would like to read something about the birth of Jesus. And this is from volume 8, December 25th, 1908. And the title is How to Make Jesus Be Born and Grow in Your Hearts. Finding myself in my usual state, I was longing for little baby Jesus, and after many hardships, he made himself seen in my interior as a little baby and told me, "My daughter, the best way to make me to be born in one's own heart is to empty oneself of everything, because in finding empty space, I can place all my goods in it, and only then can I remain in it forever. If there is room to be able to carry all that belongs to me, all that is my own. A person who went to live in the house of someone else could be called happy only if he found empty space in which to be able to put all of his belongings. Otherwise, he would be unhappy, so I am." And this is, probably for everyone, it's different because everyone has different things that we give more space to something instead of Jesus, and so we should think about it, and we should think of what I do. I give more space than Jesus, and then maybe we should if it's not that important, we should get rid of it and give more space to Jesus, and we will see that our life will definitely change in better.
And then Sister Sue, if I may interrupt you for a moment, that's a really great point, because let's just try to visualize that. Try to think, you need a place to stay, and somebody says, okay, you can come over to my place and you can stay. But then when you arrive, you've got your bags. There's no place to sit. There's virtually no place to stand. There's no place to put your bags. How uncomfortable would that be? It's actually impossible to live there. I think that's the same thing Jesus is saying. If you don't make room for me, and I don't want to call it a pun, but isn't that a reflection of the phrase, there's no room in the inn? There's also no room in our heart, perhaps, for God. So
that's a good point.
Everything that God has given us, we can use to bring us closer to God. It's just incredible. If we take the time, like you said, if we take the time to sit down, maybe be silent for a moment, which is difficult for me, I know.
And definitely Jesus will tell us. He will tell us what's unimportant in our life, things that we give more important to things. It's just that we need to be silent for 5 minutes, and I'm sure he would talk. Then the second thing, in order to make me born and to increase my happiness, is that everything the soul contains, both internal and external, everything must be done for me. Everything must serve to honor me, to execute my orders. If only one thing, one thought, one word is not for me, I feel unhappy. And while I should be the master, they make me a slave. Can I tolerate all this? And this is so true. Like, starting from me, I know sometimes I make things maybe not purely for love of God, but maybe because for the love of the other person, that of course Jesus is in there, in the other person, but it's maybe sometimes it's the intention is not completely pure. So maybe one thing that we can do is, before we start to do something, is ask Jesus the grace for the purity of heart, that we do everything for his love and not for other intentions. And then the third one is heroic love, magnified love, love of sacrifice. These three loves make me happiness to grow in a marvelous way, because they render the soul capable of works which are superior to her strength, as she does them with my strength alone. They will expand her by making not only her, but also others love me. And she will reach the point of enduring anything, even death, in order to triumph in everything and be able to say to me, I have nothing else, everything is only love for you. In this way, she will not only make me born, but will make me grow and will form a beautiful paradise in her heart. So everything is in here in this passage. I mean, the few things that we can do to make Jesus reborn again, and it's everything is so beautiful, but we also have to take it with do everything with love for Jesus, and then all the rest will come automatically.
And, you know, our blessed Lord speaks about that. He talks about it when he talks about doing even holy things. But when we're doing holy things, which are good, but when we're doing it only in our human will, Jesus says it's always going to be tainted. It's always going to be blemished, whether it be with self-esteem, with passions, with looking for affection from others, whatever it may be. He says the only pure and holy things that can be done are done in the divine will of God, because he takes away all those distractions, all those impurities, and allows it to be free thought, totally for God, the way it was. See, when Adam and Eve, when they were in their, let's call it their prime, they were giving glory to God on the level of God, due to God. And they had no wants, they had no desires, they had everything to be fully content. It's when, again, that seed of doubt was planted by Satan to Eve and saying, you know, don't eat from that tree. And then she said, well, God, you know, God, well, no, what did he say? Oh, he said, did God tell you not to eat from that tree? And she says, well, now that I think about it, no, he didn't. Because again, all accounts of Eden, God spoke to Adam, not to Eve. So he planted a seed of doubt, and that's what started it. So again, we can carve out those doubts, those impurities, those blemishes by allowing ourselves to enter. Again, we have to allow ourselves. God wants us. He's not going to tug us in. We have to allow ourselves to enter. And that's all it is. And it's not difficult. I think it's in volume 6. He says, anyone in the state of grace, now we have control over that. We can go to confession or not go, with an upright intention. Well, we can control that too. Do we want this for God, or do we want this for ourselves? So upright intention, state of grace. And I forget the third one. But anyway, it's very easy, all within our realm of possibility and our control. That gets us into the gift. Because remember, Jesus says, the majority of the grace and graces that I want to give you, you must be in the divine will in order to receive it. So we just need to get our foot in the door. That doesn't mean we're going to be on the same level as Louisa right away, although that could happen. I'm just saying we need to get our foot in the door. That's when God can give us traction. Right now, we have no traction. We're slipping every moment of the day. Sisters?
Yeah, I just want to say something really quick before Sister Elizabeth shares her passage. But yeah, I think that's key, just getting in the door. And I think a lot of times what prevents us from going in the door is we feel unworthy to go in the door. But all we have to do is be in a state of grace. Our motives are impure. We act all the time with selfish motives, but that's okay. The Lord knows who he's working with, and he's the one that does all the work. He's the one that purifies our motives little by little. It's a process. He usually shows them to us in moments of difficulties, in moments of conflict with people, or in moments of darkness. That doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong in the divine will. It doesn't mean you're not living in it. It actually means you're doing something right, because, you know, Jesus took your desire to heart and is now getting to work in purifying our motives. So just for anybody out there who may feel a little like, oh my goodness, you know, my motives are pure all the time. Don't worry. Just desire to give Jesus a pure motive. Ask him to purify your motives, and he'll get to work and get it done.
Right. And getting our foot in the door gets us one step closer to the kitchen. That's what I always say. Right, Sister Elizabeth?
Yeah, I agree. That's right, Peter. Yeah, but what Sister Francesca was saying, yeah, it reminded me, you know, to purify our motives. And this, I mean, today, it was something in the psalm, and also in the first reading, about how the blood of the innocent purifies us, something like that. And the innocent one is Jesus Christ. And I just have a passage from day 24, Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. It's connected to the feast day today, this Holy Innocence, right? And I just wanted to say really quickly, that's my religious title also. So I'm of the Eternal Fiat and of the Holy Innocence. So yeah, it's a special day for me also. So, and I also want to invite everyone to pray for the unborn on this day. And not only for the unborn, but all children that are like not living a life that every child should have, like all these children that are maybe abused, or horrible things are happening. There was recently that movie Sound of Freedom. Maybe some of you watched it. But anyway, so in the day 24, so I will just read a little bit when it's a lesson of the Queen Mother. So Our Lady is saying to Louisa, "My child, what sorrow. They want to kill him who had come to give life to all and to bring to the world the new era of peace, of happiness, of grace. What ingratitude, what perfidy. Ah, my child, look where the blindness of the human will reaches, even to becoming ferocious, to bind the hands of the Creator himself and to make themselves master of him who had created them. Therefore, compassionate me, my child, and seek to quiet the crying of the sweet little baby. He cries for the ingratitude of humanity. Scarcely born, they want him dead. To save him, we are constrained to flee. Already, the dear Saint Joseph has been informed by the angel to leave quickly for a strange land. You accompany us, dear child. Do not leave us alone. And I will continue to give you my lesson on the grave evils of the human will." I mean, even in this few sentences, we see. I mean, it's obvious the ferocious Herod, and also before him, at the time when Moses was born, the Pharaoh, who also ordered the killing of the innocents, and in today's world, like I mean. It's because of the inconvenience of those, you know, like before it was because of the inconvenience of those in power. And today it's so sad. It is because of the inconvenience of their own parents. I mean, yeah, and also the laws that are made. I mean, we all know how horrible it is. And maybe I said this before, but Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, I think in her speech at the UN, that as long as we continue to kill our own babies, the wars won't stop. Because like the babies are the most innocent ones. I mean, Jesus is the innocent and Our Lady, because they don't have original sin. But the little unborn children and very little children, they don't execute their own will. I mean, they don't sin, you know, they don't do their own will. So their souls are pure. And really, that it's always, it was always interesting for me, this connection, you know, how before, like to atone the sins of the people, of the nation, Jewish people, the Hebrews, they were like killing the innocent lambs, right? I mean, like in the Exodus, the lamb also, I heard, had to be there inside the family, in their house for 3 days before they killed him and they ate it and put the blood on the doorposts. So they actually, can you imagine, like children got affectionate with the lamb and all. Okay, maybe I'll if we need to, yeah, if we need to pause now, I can maybe continue later.
Yeah, I'll call halftime. We'll come back in the second half. But yeah, you mentioned Mother Teresa. You know, it was back in 2020, the Missionaries of the Charity, a bunch of sisters were at the Vatican, and Pope Francis said, to the extent that in the School of Mary, she teaches well the ABCs of life. And I don't know if he was talking about our School of Mary, but I hope he was, but I don't think he was. But, you know, as a boy, think about this, the School of Mary, as a boy, Jesus was homeschooled. He was homeschooled by the Blessed Mother. In fact, Maria Valtorta, a mystic, reveals that she heard our Blessed Mother state, quote, "I will never send Jesus to school," unquote. Again, you can't make this stuff up. We finally arrived. The divine will is finally bringing us back to that other side. Finally.
Turn, I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Again, welcome back to the playground of the divine will here at the School of Mary. I would hate not to be able to say those words, welcome back to Radio Maria and the School of Mary. And everything's a possibility because remember, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. They don't take sponsors. They're not coerced into doing things that they know they ought not do. They're not selling things that nobody needs. Again, all of this purity of intention, this purity of product that they give us, this 24-hour Catholic programming, it does take money. I know divine grace and God has endowed Radio Maria and Our Lady's work, but also I think God is looking for our participation. How can we participate? Well, some of us can be on the microphone, and some of us can, but though, like this person on the microphone, I have no financial resources to help out, but maybe somebody out there that's not on the microphone does have a financial resource that God has endowed them with. And again, God is just, wealth is not bad, but it's just how we use it. So if you can be so kind, if you have the wherewithal, if you have the means in which to be charitable, you can be charitable spiritually, and that costs nothing. But if you are in a position to help out financially, Radio Maria can use the help and does need the help desperately. Every month it takes money and it keeps going up, up the bills and the expenses. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us and click on the donate button and please give what you can. A reoccurring monthly would be great because that way Radio Maria knows what's coming in, when, and they know how to appropriate their strategy on doing God's work. Or simply call 888-408-0201. That's either radiomaria.us or calling 888-408-0201. Anyone making a pledge, whether you're listening live or to the archives, we will send a Louisa Picadetta relic card, which is really, really great because it has a piece of Louisa's clothing. It's actually a relic. And even more important, it has the contact information on the back of the card, whom to call when you experience your miracle. So it's really important that we help out. We all participate. We all collectively do this. I would love to be able to financially assist and get off the microphone. I'll be here, as like Isaiah says, until someone takes me out of the way. Please be kind, be generous. And the great thing is God knows who can and cannot. Remember, he says he's spying on us. So no pressure, but he knows who can, he knows who cannot. So please go to radiomaria.us or call 888-408-0201. We would love to continue bringing this Catholic programming to you each and every day. So again, Holy Innocents, this beautiful, beautiful feast day, a remembrance of what has happened and what continues to happen, disguised in other forms. And we were in the midst of a beautiful eulogy by Sister Elizabeth.
Yes, and I just also wanted to say, so there are some estimates, that in Jesus's time, 14,400 babies were killed by the order of Herod. It's horrible. And then even more terrible thing that in our time, in the 20th and the 21st century, so like since sexual revolution has started and the abortion pill and all these techniques, some estimates are that 20 billion aborted babies, those are estimates, also those aborted by like abortion pill, but we can never know. The interesting thing is like and then I also say, like, wait a minute, I checked it, it means something like you know the number in the apocalypse, 144,000, those in white robes. Yes. Yeah. And this is actually, so 144,000 on square, it goes to 20 billion, the number of babies aborted. But I'm sure all those souls, as I said many times before, You know, what we can do as an homage for them is to offer a divine version of their lives to the Eternal Father, to offer all the acts that they could have done or should have done in the divine will as God intended to. We can, you know, kind of apply it to their soul and offer it to the Eternal Father, and I'm sure they will be like eternally happy and grateful to us for that. And also to ask them to intercede. I'm sure they're already interceding, but like in you know, in the divine will for all those responsible for them not being able to have their lives, to live their lives. And also in one this mystic Gloria Paula, I'm sure you already heard, she had this like strong experience when she was struck by lightning, and then she had an encounter with Jesus, and he showed her, because in the past she had an abortion, and she was also like using this spiral, and Jesus showed her how also like that the conceived children, like conceived baby with using the spiral, is actually, you know, aborted in the womb. And so in her mystical experience, when she was struck by lightning, Jesus showed her that every time a baby is aborted, the demons in hell have like an enormous feast. They are like so much rejoicing. And then those strongest ones are released to attack priests. Sister Teresa once pointed me out that, and I mean, if you look at it, it's really there's so much connection, you know, in this contemporary time. I mean, the other half of the 20th century, the attacks on priests and the abortion, and it really it seems like even. Like as if it is this same kind of demon or something like that, like an evil scheme they have. But what we can do, kind of to fight back, to be the army of light, we can even, you know, offer a divine version of all these evil spirits had they never fallen, of becoming angel and becoming demons. So even that is possible, because like I mean, all the angels also are due to praise and glory and adoration to God, and those that have fallen of course are not and will never, you know, do this task that they have, that God intended for them. But in the divine will, we can offer that love that they are not giving. We can offer it to God, you know, not only for human souls, for people, but we can also do it for the angels. So, yeah, let me just quickly finish this passage that I was reading. So Our Lady explaining to Luisa. Now, you must know that no sooner had man withdrawn from the divine will than he broke away from his creator. Everything on the earth had been made for him by God. Everything was his. And man, by not doing the divine volition, lost all rights. And it can be said he did not have a place to take a step. So he became the poor exiled one, the wanderer, who could not possess a permanent place to live. And this not only in soul, but also in body. All things became changeable for poor man. And if he had some fleeting thing, it was in virtue of the foreseen merits of this heavenly little baby. And this because all the magnificence of creation was destined by God to give to those who would have done the divine will and lived in its kingdom. All the others, if with difficulty they take something, are true thieves of their creator, and with reason, They do not want to do the divine will, and yet they want the goods which pertain to it. So I just wanted to also add that today we can pray not only for the children and for the unborn and to stop abortion and all connected with it, but also for the refugees. Because Jesus, as a baby, was exiled from his own land to Egypt, which represents like a land of darkness, of idols, of sin. So, and how many refugees do we have nowadays? And maybe, you know, those who are exiled, not only like physically from their own land, but in many other ways, like in families, or I mean, think of all the women that are maybe, you know, exiled from their homes by their husbands, together with their children, or things like that, or even women that, you know, put away their husbands from their homes. I mean, so everything can be applied to it, because Jesus and the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, so because of the cruel tyrant Herod, they went to exile where in Egypt, where then Jesus said this first sermon as a child to the children of Egypt. That's Sister Francesca's favorite passage.
Well, you know, Sister, evil has many variations. So you're right. You know, we go from the Holy Innocents, from the tragedy that happened there, and again, it's just they're wearing different clothes, but sort of the same effect is happening. You know, we mentioned one or two mystics recently, and I just want to clarify. You know, mystics sometimes they get a bad rap, but our Catechism states, Article 67 states, I'm going to paraphrase it, that the role of the mystic is not to, again, these are mystics when authenticated by the Holy Church. The role of the mystic is not to improve, not to add to or delete from public revelation, but to allow us to better understand it in a certain period of time. So that's the role they play. And that, you know, we mentioned Maria Valtorta, we mentioned the mystic you mentioned. I think that's really important, Article 67. You were mentioning about Day 24. I'm going to come back to it after we go to Sister Teresa, and then I'm going to come back, and I want to read a paragraph or so from that meditation as well. Sister?
Yes, I was thinking of what Sister Elizabeth was telling about this problem of the abortion and this a real tragedy. But we have to also to make an effort to read all these things in a key of in the key of the faith and of the hope. And I was thinking at the same moment when she was telling us all these things, the image of the Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we all know the story and the images that was impressed in her eyes when Juan Diego showed the mantle to the bishop. And in one eyes, there is the image of a family. They are around a table. In another eye, there is an image of the bishop. So the church in one side and the family in another side. So the same two big reality of the church, the domestic church and the church, the church we already know, are attacked by this problem, the abortion. But in the same person, we can see in the eyes the two reality, family and the church, but in the same person, it is Our Lady, there is a womb that is biting, there is a baby, is biting, is alive. Because in faith, in hope, we can rebuild reparation. Okay, that's it. Reparation with in prayer, but also with the heart. And in one way, we can give more value of this reparation, giving company to Jesus, because he is present in the womb of Our Lady. He is present in the tabernacle and is suffering already now in this moment. He's suffering all these pains. So giving him company, we have not idea what is the effect of our prayer. And we can also take, for example, the excess of love, especially the fifth and the sixth. When he say to Luisa, I told to Luisa that we are all present in that womb. And also he say to Luisa in the sixth excess, ask, pray my mother that give you space in her womb to stay with me. So I was asking to myself, the fifth excess is say that we are all present. And the sixth excess is say, pray my mother to enter. So what I do, what I have to think, I am there or not? We all are ready. We are all present in the womb of Our Lady. But we have to desire more to enter with our conscious, with our mind, with our heart. And in one way we do this, forming ourselves with a prayer, with the spiritual reading, we are more aware to be there and to do reparation with love.
Yeah, all present at the conception of our Blessed Lord. Our Lord and Our Lady tells us in the Divine Will. That's incredible. And what about Mary Agreda in the City of God, where we were all present at the Last Supper? All of us, and a special section for those journeying in the Divine Will. I don't know if they were the worst seats or the best seats. I'm not sure, but they were different seats. Sister?
Did you want to read your passage, Peter?
No, I want to listen to you first.
You sure? Okay.
Positive.
It was very interesting what Sister Teresa said. I didn't know in one of Our Lady of Guadalupe's eyes there was a family.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and it just makes so much sense, because what is the devil attacking? The family. You know, that's his main goal, because if he attacks the family, he attacks individual souls, and then he thinks he's won. And that's why I think it's so important we all return to the house of Nazareth. You know, that's where the divine will reigned, and that's where we're going to find the healing of all of our families and all of our family wounds. You know, even if there are some people out there who came from the most perfect family, we're all broken. So we all have, you know, our woundedness, which affects every aspect of our lives. But like you were saying, Peter, you know, we were present everywhere in Jesus's life. You know, we were present in that house of Nazareth with him for 30 years. And all we have to do is go right back in there. And I just want to read a brief passage from the Catechism that I heard the other day, which touched me very much. It's from paragraphs 519 and then 521. It says, all of Christ's riches are for every individual and are everybody's property. Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. By his incarnation, he, the Son of God, has in a certain way united himself with each man. We are called only to become one with him, for he enables us as the members of his body to share in what he lived for us in his flesh as our model. I heard this passage on a podcast the other day, and the exercise that they basically did, it was a prayer meditation of placing yourself in Bethlehem in the scene of Jesus's birth, and placing yourself with Jesus in the manger, placing yourself united with him, and just seeing kind of where the Holy Spirit takes you. I try to do that meditation. Actually, the Holy Spirit didn't lead me to Bethlehem. He gave me a fast forward into Nazareth. and it was a really, really powerful meditation. If you just trust in the Holy Spirit, you just kind of let go and let him take you where he wants. The Lord's really going to speak to your heart there. And without giving any details, I really found a deep healing in doing that. And that really, it helped me to understand what Jesus tells Luisa all the time. I want you to live in me, and I want to live in you. I'm a very practical person. You know, I can't picture things sometimes that are too spiritual unless I have a concrete image in my head. And for me, Jesus was showing me, you know, just come live in my life. Come, we want you there. And I think what's the deepest desire of all of our hearts? We want to be loved. We want to be seen. We want to be known. We want to be loved. And we want to belong. We want to belong to a family. And that family that we belong to is Nazareth. It's the kingdom of the divine will. So just to kind of, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I just want to invite everybody out there to just bring yourself into Nazareth and just behold Jesus beholding you, behold Our Lady and Saint Joseph beholding you, that are just so happy that you're there. They delight in you. Yes, we've all got issues. We all feel unworthy to enter into this gift. But I think once you go into Nazareth, you're going to realize, ooh, I can be here the way I am. I'm loved the way I am. And that's actually, ironically, it's a paradox, but that's actually what helps us to grow closer to the Lord. It helps us to grow in greater virtue. It helps us to grow in perfection, because we're not relying on our own strengths, but we're just relying on the love that Jesus and Mary and Joseph are giving us. And I just want to, I know we have to close out soon, but a really quick passage from the Virgin Mary, day 25. Mary says to Louisa, "Dear child, in this house, the kingdom of the divine will was in full force. Every little act of ours, working, starting the fire, preparing the food, all were animated by the supreme volition and were formed on the solidity of the sanctity of pure love. Therefore, from the tiniest to the greatest of our acts, immense joys, happinesses, and beatitudes were unleashed." We all live in Nazareth. We all live in houses. We all, no matter what our state in life is, we're cooking, we're cleaning, we're going to the bathroom, we're sleeping, we're doing all these beautiful things that we can do in Nazareth, where we are totally loved. We're going to realize that we are children of the Eternal Father. And that's really, for me, that's what the goal is. That's what's living in the divine will, returning to the womb of the Eternal Father.
Right. You know, the home of Nazareth, it was a home full of love and simplicity. And that's what we have to return to. We can all do that individually and collectively. That'll make a big effort. I also know one of the reasons why God put you in the fast lane, Sister Francesca, because you're from New York. That's why you got to be in the fast lane.
We don't know how to observe the speed limit.
Forget about it. Okay. I would like to just end with a little clip from day 24 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Again, very appropriate for today's feast day. This is our Blessed Lady speaking, quote, "Now Egypt symbolizes the human will, a land full of idols. And wherever the infant Jesus passed, he vanquished these idols and cast them into hell. And how many idols the human will possesses, idols of vainglory, of self-esteem, and of passions which tyrannize the poor creature. Therefore, be attentive." This is what Our Lady's saying. "Be attentive and listen closely to me, your Blessed Mother, what your mother wishes to tell you. I, the Blessed Mother, am disposing you to offer, I will offer myself up any sacrifice to have you decide never to do your own will. Indeed, I am disposed to offer up my life so that you may receive the great good of living always in the womb of the divine will." End quote. Our Lady is there. Our Lady wants us to ask her for help. She guarantees her assistance. What is Jesus like? You want something? Go to my mother. I can never refuse what she asks of me. We have everything we need. No more chasing butterflies. Beautiful feast day. Thank you so much, sister. We thank God above all. We thank Radio Maria for this opportunity. And we thank you, especially sisters, for your vocation and your fidelity and your willingness to come on to this program every week.
Thank you, Peter, for all you do. I had to test your sanity maybe a little bit there, but
faith equals God. That's what Jesus tells us in volume 2. And God is the ultimate hope. We need hope today. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, everyone. Love everyone. Hopefully, God willing, we'll be back next Thursday. Ciao.